Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today, your weekly show that you listen to every Saturday from 11 to 12. This is your host, Curtis Smith, with co-host Tori Tipp.
And hello.
Guest Michael Swayze from Richardson Springs.
So,
hello. Good morning, folks.
Got an exciting show today, right?
We do. We do. Who out there is called to missionary work? And who out there is a missionary? Well, hopefully this show encourages you because we have another missionary in the studio with us today. He's also a former YWAMer, and he's involved with YWAM at the moment. So, good morning, Mike.
Morning.
You want to be called Michael or Mike?
Michael is fine.
Okay. So, Michael, why don't you give the audience a little bit about who you are?
Alrighty. Well, 37, father of three children, happy husband. Been in missions for 2 years now.
Yeah. Okay. And what got you started in missions?
I get that question a lot. It's always, people don't like this answer, but God literally told me to go to missions.
How did that
I think happen? It's a great answer.
That is a great answer.
Yeah, you better be called.
But how did that happen?
Well, career-wise, my past has been food service management.
Okay.
So from the moment I left high school to up to 2 years ago, doing restaurant management, and had always been worked in the church in kind of a lay position where, you know, go to church all the time, work with the youth, work with different aspects of church. But I wanted to be more involved. I wanted it to be my whole life, to be everything, and began to get restless at work. And I can remember one day I literally opened my journal and was writing in the journal and asked for the Lord to make a change in my life, to fill that place inside of me where I kind of felt a void. And, that was the beginning. I wrote that prayer, and the funny part of that story is I basically, right after I wrote that prayer, within a week I lost my job. It doesn't sound like it would be a good thing, but all my natural skill set that put me in that place, customer service, being able to answer people's objections, the stuff stopped working for me. And I began making mistakes that I would never make. And at first I was really distressed by it. But I lost my job, and then for the next year I worked for my father-in-law doing delivery, which is not something I've ever done before. But during that time, lots of hours on the road, lots of traveling university time where you can listen to podcasts, listen to worship music, all that kind of thing. The Lord started speaking to me about things that he made me to do. And one of those was to go and teach the gospel and go and basically talk about the hope that Jesus came to bring us, regardless of our circumstances.
God knows what we need, Michael.
Really
I mean, did you feel like this at this moment? Because I felt like this in several situations in my life where I was teetering, should I do this, should I not? And I was really seeking the Lord, and it's almost like he just put his foot on my backside and pushed me out of the nest.
Like
sometimes we need a little push, a little shove, and so we can spread our wings and fly at that moment. So the Lord was kind of moving you into that path.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what I'm doing right now, and thanks to you, Michael, you've been a big encouragement to getting me to really think about next year. So let's continue. Continue talking where you stop.
Yeah, well, definitely. It's funny how what you say, my man, is exactly right, because you get all of these what you should do's in your mind, but to step across the line sometimes can be very, very challenging.
Take that leap of faith.
He does line up things to basically help you step over the line, you know. And like one of the things he did for us that year is my income, which normally would have been in the $36,000 a year range, went down to I only made $16,000 that year. And I only got paid for the work that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And several times, people I worked for would take out the books and they're like, we don't, like the paycheck would be more than what I actually worked. But when they went to run the numbers, it was all legitimate. So they weren't paying me money that I didn't earn. But the Lord, during that year time where basically he was pulling me out of my job, because running restaurants and stuff takes up a lot of your time and your mind.
That's the truth.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot of time to consider how to make your change or what the Lord is saying to you and those types of things. And so, you know, he multiplied the money during that year's time. I didn't actually make enough to pay the bills, but all the bills, they got paid.
Wow.
Right?
Amazing.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah. Yeah, they all got paid.
He is the great provider, the one who looks ahead, Jehovah Jireh, right. The one who looks ahead and provides.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. And then the end of that year, my grandmother passed away.
Mm.
And we had... I traveled to South Carolina because I'm from South Carolina. Traveled to South Carolina to go to the funeral. And while I was at the funeral, one of my aunts came up and told me that my half-brother, Joey, was wanting to get a hold of me. My half-brother, whom I hadn't seen in many, many years. No kind of bad blood between us, just distance.
Yeah.
Distance is all. And so I'm like, sure. I gave him my phone number and kind of went on about my day. Later that night, I'm telling my wife about that brother wanting to get a hold of me. And she's like, you're not going to actually leave without seeing your brother. You're in the same city that he's in. And I'm like, oh, of course not. So I call. I make all the arrangements to see Joey. The next day, I meet with Joey. We're having lunch. And 20 minutes into our meeting, he kind of out of nowhere says, I have a friend who wants to meet you. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, well, he'll be here in about 10 minutes. So the gentleman shows up in 10 minutes. His name is Wayman. And he comes in and... he basically comes and he extends his hand and he shakes his hand, gets right up close into my personal space, which is not something I'm very... Now I'm okay with it, but at the time, it wasn't something I was... A little uncomfortable, yeah.
Yeah, we don't like that, do we?
Yeah. And so the first thing he asks me is, I hear you love Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, he's my master, which kind of shows you where I was with my walk with Jesus and my relationship to him. And so for the next hour, we went on to talk about basically where each of us had come from in our faith walk. And one of the things that I related to him during that time was that I had just recently been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That grew up not knowing Holy Spirit, so ideas like walking and living in faith and those things were basically an idea in my mind, but I hadn't seen a lot of it in my whole life.
And your faith that you were part of didn't believe in a lot of it either, did it?
Right. Yeah. No. I grew up in a belief where we believe that the Holy Spirit didn't move in healing. He didn't. Mm-hmm. So, as those movements do, they basically went all the way to the other side and void Holy Spirit at all. So there was no talk of transformation. There was no talk of intervention in your life. So what's left at that time, at that moment, what's left is basically works, the law. You don't have any other choice once you eliminate. Like it's like taking the book of Romans and just tossing it out the door.
And that's tough because you'll never be good enough.
No.
I grew up under that type of condemnation, and I was always scared that I was going to get left.
Me too.
I'd be like in the middle of the night, I'd be calling out to my mom and dad, just making sure they are still there.
Right.
I'd be walking around the mall looking up at the ceiling, making sure there weren't holes in the ceiling that the rapture hadn't take place, man. I'm serious. I was a little kid. And then I got a little bit older, and I would, like, look around, and I could see if I could find a baby. And if I could find a baby, I knew that the rapture hadn't taken place yet, and I was still safe.
That's great, man.
That's true, great. Man.
But that's the reality that you live under is, I can remember one of the elders in our church, he would always talk about, in youth group, he would always talk about, I hope you guys know for sure where you're going. You can know for sure. I remember thinking, how can anybody know for sure where they're going if every action, everything you do is judged and weighed? I mean, I could be great, but the very last minute, step into sin, and now that's it.
Yep. Jesus came, and you were bad at that last moment.
Right?
You shouldn't have taken Curtis's pop from him, and, you stole his pop or something like that. But yeah, right? I mean, who can live up to that? But thank you, God, for Jesus Christ who paid the way.
Yeah.
And by his grace, which Curtis is really has knowledge of the grace of the Lord, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
And I didn't for years. I wasn't taught much about grace. I was really taught law and religion because it was all about do instead of trust, or what God had done at the cross for us. So we can talk a little bit about that on the show, but... go back to where we left off, Mike, and continue.
Thinking. So as I'm sitting there talking to this gentleman named Wayman and basically relating to him in the last year, having just been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, life went from being black and white to being in color. Is really a really great way of explaining it. Because now life, I'm experiencing a freedom I never had before. And not questioning, not feeling the way that you just described, where you're thinking, oh my gosh, in any moment this could all end and it's done. Thinking like having a newfound surety of my salvation. And for the first time in my life, that the scripture where it talks about being prepared to give an account for the joy that you have. Like, I used to be terrified of that voice. I'm like, of that scripture. Because I'm thinking, how am I going to give an account for a joy that I don't have? Well, that means I'm going to have to make up an account. I'm going to have to make up something.
Wow.
Yeah. But that doesn't, you know, it's hard to have a testimony spring from you if you're terrified of the person who delivers the testimony, right?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
The Lord knows our heart. He knows if we're joyful.
Yeah.
He knows if we're, you know, fearful or, you know, if we're doing things we shouldn't do. So
that's true.
So as I'm telling him that, I was talking about my experience of the Lord multiplying the cash that was coming in, and the Holy Spirit leading me through the last year. He makes a statement. He goes, "It's funny. I'm glad that you're where you're at, because the only reason that I am here today is that the Holy Spirit prompted me to come here and talk to you today."
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. And he's like, I just come back from a mission trip that I took through a missions movement called Youth with a Mission. And my response to that, because I had heard of Youth with a Mission or YWAM before, but my impression was that it was for young people right out of high school or college age. I had thought that somebody who is 30-something, has kids, has a career, or the pieces of a career, that wouldn't be for them. And he's like, no, you misunderstand. Within this movement, there's whole programs for almost anyone.
Mm. Which a lot of us aren't aware of when we first hear about it, because I didn't know that. I knew about YWAM, but I didn't know that it was for almost any age until just recently.
Yeah. Well, it points to a truth, and that's the truth is that God makes a way where there is no way. And so if God calls you to something, no matter how impossible the calling feels, no matter how, even if you look around you and you're like, I see no possible way for me to do this thing. I see no possible way for me to go to this place. I see no possible way for me to talk to this people group. God will line it up. And really all that's necessary is for you to be obedient to what he's asking you to do. And so in that moment, obedience looked like just listening to this gentleman, because he was talking about things a little bit outside of my scope of awareness. And he told me how, he explained to me that he had just gone to Kona, which is where, like, Youth with the Mission is worldwide. So they have one base there, and they're decentralized. So almost, there's bases almost everywhere. You just have to look for wherever you feel like the Lord's asking you to go, if you were looking into that. But he'd gone to Kona, and then he had gone on this traipse through Europe, doing a mission trip through Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a Guatemalan missionary, no cash. He had just gotten back from Guatemala when the Lord called him to go into YWAM.
Mm.
And his first reaction was, all right, Lord, but I don't have any money. Got in his car, drove to the airport. And on the way to the airport, the money was provided for his airline ticket. Like, who goes to the airport and buys plane tickets? But apparently he did. You know, he went to the airport, bought his plane ticket there.
You usually get them before, but, you know.
You get them online now. You didn't used to.
Right. But in my mind, when he's telling me this, I'm the guy, my brain just kicks out these, like, why would you do that kind of statements sometimes? And I'm thinking, man, that had to be an expensive plane ticket. But he did what the Lord said. The Lord said, go to the airport. So he packed his family up, and he went to the airport. They had just arrived back from Guatemala, so everything was still packed up, basically.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, we're up against a break.
We are.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.
Welcome back, listeners, to Christ Today on KKXX Radio. That's 930 AM, 104.5 FM. We're with Michael Patrick Swayze. His testimony about what the great things the Lord has done with him, with our host, Curtis Smith, and I'm Tori Tipp. We're just really getting in to where the Lord is leading you with your mission trip. You had brought us up to that point, and a friend of your brother's had supplied you with plane tickets.
Yeah, not me. Yeah. He was recounting the story of how he got his plane tickets without having any cash. Because I think the Lord in that moment knew that I'm thinking, I'm barely making a living right now. How am I going to go and do the missionary thing? I have no cash saved up for that.
It's kind of what I've been thinking and feeling, but God's able to come through for us and provide. We just recently saw that, and we'll be talking about that here in a little bit. So continue on with the story.
Right. So to move the story along, we wrap things up. I'm wowed, of course, because I am thinking about the prayer that I've written in my journal about, Lord, do anything. I'm thinking, like, Lord, do anything. And so get back on the airplane, fly back to Nevada, where I grew up, and sitting in bed 2 days later, and the phone rings, my cell phone. Of course, who has landlines now? Almost nobody. So I answer the phone. And actually, it was a text. I'm sorry, it was a text. So I look at the text, and it's Wayman, because we had exchanged numbers. And it said, you should go to YWAM.com and check out YWAM. So I get back in bed, and my wife's like, who was that? And I said, it's Wayman.
It's Jake from State Farm. Oh, yeah, right. He sounds hideous.
Oh, Lord. So my wife, she's a go-getter. She's Italian, go-getter. So she gets up, she looks at the phone, and immediately gets online, starts researching YWAM, Youth with a Mission. What is it? What is, you know, and what is it to us? She gets excited because she knows what I've been praying, and we both were in a spot where we were feeling like the Lord was, like there was something in the air.
Yeah.
Like you can feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of one of those moments where you feel like what you've been waiting for and praying for has arrived, and you feel that little drop in your spirit.
Yes.
And like, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Kind of like when the ninth month of pregnancy. Right? When you move into that, you can, every day, the expectancy is there. You're like, man, we're going to have this baby in a minute. And the guys are like, yeah. The girls are like, oh.
My wife was like, yeah, I think I can do it without the pain medication. I'm like, take it.
Right? Yes.
I'm like, you know, don't try to tough that out, man. Take that pain medication.
They're crazy, man.
I think I can do it.
They're crazy. So she goes online, she checks it out, and finds out what it is. And then we start, through our daily walk, running into people who have either done YWAM. Hmm. We find out that our pastor's son was a YWAMer. A YWAMer is someone who's gone through the training. Mm-hmm. And whether they staff or not, they consider themselves a YWAMer. And then I begin running into people who are sending somebody to YWAM or who has a son or daughter in YWAM. And then, you know, in those moments, you're like, okay, what's happening?
Yeah,
I was brand new to the Lord speaking through other people. So to me, it seemed a little like coincidence at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has always been one step ahead of me a little bit in the faith thing. I don't consider it that way, but at the time I did.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what possibly could you need more than what we've already received that we're supposed to go do this thing? And I said, well, literally, I need somebody to say that the Lord is calling us to go to this place. It can't seem like a coincidence. And I wish in this moment I could remember, like, I listed off three things that I needed the person to say. I needed them to address, we needed $20,000 to do the mission. And I can't remember the other two things. This is on a Saturday. So Sunday morning, she's at church. I'm actually somewhere else, but she's at church. And the preacher, or the pastor, gets up, and before he begins, says, "You know what? I was just sitting here, and I got a word from the Lord, or when the Lord communicates to somebody, and I would like to deliver it." And he says, "There's someone sitting here, and the Lord wants me to tell you that the provision that you are seeking is right through the doorway. You just need to walk through the door, and that door is a decision. You need to make the decision, walk through the door, and the provision's on the other side, and that you're going to see dreams that were dead be resurrected."
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yes. So my wife is freaking out because she knows that this is for her. Later on that day, there's a luncheon that I go to with her, and the pastor's there, and she asks him, will you tell me that the word that he had received? So he lays his hands on me. He delivered that same word, and it was the first time in my life that I really had an encounter with the presence of God. As he was delivering that word, I just felt the presence fall over me. Mm. And I realized, this is real. Like, I had heard a lot about Holy Spirit in, like, conversations.
Sure.
But hadn't had a whole lot of firsthand experience.
Yeah.
I had a lot of hope inside because I was freed up. Like, I did feel free where I hadn't felt free before. But he laid his hands on me. He delivered that word. And I felt the presence of the Lord, and I'm like, how do you know that? He just laughed. He's like, the Lord told me. The Lord told me. So we left church that day. We went home, and that began this whirlwind faith journey. We watched the Lord. At the time, we had $1,000 in our emergency account. We took it out. You know, and our emergency account was very clearly defined so that what an emergency was. We took it out because it was a $500 deposit for each of us. Send it into the base so that our spot for the next school would be reserved, because you have to go through the discipleship training school in order to enter into YWAM. And it was clearly the direction that God was pointing us in. So we sent that in. The whole time I'm struggling, though. I'm like, I can't steal this much money, $20,000 or $19,000. So we start writing letters. We start doing yard sales. And we're only able really to raise the amount for the passports. Now, anyone who's done any traveling knows that passports take some time.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that the Lord allowed us to raise this money that way so that we could get that stuff in and get that ball rolling. But do you know that we were not able to raise one more dime by our own strength than the cost of the passport?
Hmm. Wow.
No more money. The church gave us $1,500. But other than that, no more money came in until 3 days before time to go.
Wow.
So the whole time, like, inside of me, and my parents, I grew up in a business home, so I had been taught the principles of business at the dinner table. I didn't go to university, but there are very basic things you learn about business, and if you apply those things, it's not about business today. But
yeah,
you can be successful. Mm-hmm. It's not super complicated. And one of those things is you always make a plan and you follow your plan. No plan is a plan. It's a plan to fail. That's something
right.
My dad would always say. And I felt like, where's our plan to raise this money? Mm-hmm. This money isn't, like, I've written letters. Nobody's responding.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to people and everybody praying for us, but nobody is anteing up. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it that way, but that's the way I was thinking of it at the moment.
Yeah.
And the Bible says to write your vision down.
Yes.
So that others that read it can come along and support what you're doing.
Yes.
So they can run with it. So they can take it and run with it. So what you're doing.
Otherwise known as a support letter.
Yeah, as a support letter.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there are those that are called to go, and there's those that are called to support.
Yes.
Yeah. And I love supporting. I mean, that's I want to go on a mission as well, but I love to support. I'd rather send than to go a lot of times.
Yeah.
But that's just where my heart is.
Yeah. You know, so. And it's there's an amazing dichotomy that is challenging to explain it to people who haven't experienced it. But when you send somebody, they come back with these testimonies and they share them with you as the sender, and it builds your faith. And then it helps you look at yourself, whatever you may do, whether it's your occupation or whether you work in a local church. And you start thinking of all these testimonies, and you realize, For example, let's say there's testimonies of healing, and then you start looking around and you're noticing, wow, there are people who are unwell around me. Well, if this person laid their hands and in the name of Jesus someone was healed, why can't I pray for that person?
You can.
That's true.
You can.
Yeah.
Right? And it's by that testimony it engenders something mm-hmm. inside of us.
Yeah. And Jesus' word to us of what we're supposed to do is to lay hands on the sick, heal yes. those that are sick,
yeah.
free the oppressed. Yes. So Jesus said, the works that I did, you shall also do, and even greater works.
Yes. Isn't that exciting?
Yes, because it's profitable that I go to be with the Father so that the Holy Spirit may come. He's our guide, our comforter.
And that's,
go ahead,
that's
Curtis.
Letting go of our limitations. And the next thing we're going to talk about and get into is taking a risk. So let's start there and talk about taking this risk that the Lord wanted you to take. Because you had talked to me last night about taking risks. So talk a little bit about taking risk, what God has taught you through that. And
sure. There's something that there's a saying or a phrase that it helps me be bold. And that's that the Lord rewards risk, not success. So when you see that person who needs a prayer, or when the Lord asks you to take a journey that requires faith, sometimes our tendency is to think of the end result. What am I able to do? What am I able to secure? But that's not the way the Lord works. The Lord points you you're like an arrow, basically. The Lord wants to put you in the bow, and he wants to shoot you. But if the arrow believes he's the bow, where is the arrow going to ever go? The arrow is never going to go anywhere.
Right.
Wow. I've been in some situations where, in fact, just recently with what we're going through is in building Rain Freedom House, which is to free children from the sex trade.
Okay.
I just told the Lord, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got to that position of, I don't know what to do, but I'm willing to do it, Lord, and if you'll open up the doors, I'll walk through them. All of a sudden, when I laid it at the Lord's feet, knowing of my own weaknesses, the Lord started open up all these doors before us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're experiencing. That's exactly what you've told us, is you lay it at the feet of our Heavenly Father and let him open the doors and let him know we're willing to walk through those doors.
Yeah. Because the reality that we all face is that Papa God, he asks us to do things. He gives us opportunities, and that every one of those opportunities, I believe they exist outside of our sphere of comfort. And so you have to risk it. You're like, so you're risking because you're saying, you're in deciding to say yes,
mm-hmm.
you're going beyond your boundary of ability.
Mm.
And so to have the courage to go beyond the boundary of ability, there has to be a belief there.
That's true.
And that belief needs to be, the Lord has asked me to do this. The Lord is empowering me to do this. And the Lord has gone before me in order that I may do this.
That's right.
Right?
Willing and obedient.
Yes. Yeah. And so for me, keeping that the Lord rewards my risk, not my success, has helped me not think about maybe what will happen at the release of that prayer. Or like right now, raising money to go to Africa. I've actually, at this point, the Lord has provided all the money. And it was after the ninth hour or the fifth. I don't know how that stayed.
11th hour.
Thank you very much. It was actually after the 11th hour. The boundaries that my leaders had set and said, by Monday or by Friday, you need to have all of your money in. I was $6,000 short. But the Lord kept assuring us through the weekend. The last assurance came through my five-year-old on Sunday after church. We're getting everybody together, going to go out to have lunch. And five-year-old walks up. His name is Gabriel. Tugs mom on the cuff of her jacket. And she's like, yes, Gabriel. He says, Mama, God told me that all the money's coming.
Mm.
She like looks at him, she says, who told you that? No one, I just know.
Praise the Lord, out of the mouths of babes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we just, sometimes you get in a place, and a word we use a lot in our circle is tension. You get in a place in the tension where it's you believe a thing about God, but the things lining up around you seem to point at other things. And you're in this tension. Do you believe what you see around you, or do you believe what's been said about God? God is good. But if things around you don't look like God is good, which one do you believe? Do you believe the circumstances, or do you believe what God has said about himself?
That's a good point.
So in this instance, God has asked me. He has shown us pictures of us in Africa. Many things have lined up for us to go to Africa. But the physical things around me don't line up with that. Well, what does the word say? The word says that I live by faith, not by sight.
Yeah.
Come on. That's true. Exactly.
That means that we cannot use the world around us as a barometer to whether or not what God says he's going to do is what he's going to do. We have to, I think, and I believe, we have to just believe him at his word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
It's the word. If we stay with the word, we won't get off track.
Right.
It's when we get on our own course and our own thoughts or listen to words contrary to the written word.
Which is true.
And we can get off track pretty easily. Yeah. But if we stay with the word that God watches over to perform it,
and
we know that he'll be with us.
Yeah. What you're saying is a great, it's a necessity. And that's that the word of God is the filter everything should run through. It is. So if I tell you, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this thing, and maybe, I mean, I've heard some really crazy stuff, like, you know, you should leave your wife and these other things, and your wife has done nothing to you.
Mm-mm.
And I give you these reasons. Well, the word says otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should take the word as the filter, and if the filter catches it, then...
Obviously, that's not going to be God.
Right. That's a word from Michael Swayze. That's not a word from anybody else, you know?
That's a word from the devil. So
definitely. Yeah. But people forget what you're saying is a key thing, whether you're talking about a prophetic thing or you're just talking about what you see around you.
Mm-hmm.
Should I make this decision? Should I make that decision? A lot of times the word is our compass.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you stories about where I threw my compass away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's a choice to remain with that compass in our hands. And that's why reading the word is so important. Washing ourselves
daily.
The word.
Daily
is key. It is. Because I can guarantee you, when you turn the radio on, when you talk to other people, just talking to other people, you're being washed in something.
Right.
So you need something to combat that.
Continuously, Satan is bombarding us from every angle, whether it's commercials, whether it's the music we're listening to, the conversation, the company we keep. There is a bombardment of arrows to sway you off the word, because our mind, a computer, right? So we're putting everything into us is what we're going to get out. So we got to keep that washing of the word daily.
Yeah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is the written word.
That's true.
Is life to those who find it. It is health to all their flesh.
Here at Sycamore Glen, we actually like to think of ourselves as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
Welcome back, listeners, to Christ Today. We're enjoying an exciting time with Michael Swayze and his testimony on what the Lord has done in his life. And Michael, you were getting ready to say something right there before we took a break.
Yeah, I just, you know, I can speak to exactly what Curtis is referring to, because not only did I battle attention deficit disorder and depression, and I had a seizure disorder, so I can totally and completely identify with what you're talking about with grasping what the word says and these physical limitations that seem to come between us and the word. But there is a truth about the word that we can miss sometimes. It's not a dead textbook. Like, when you approach the word, it isn't the same as if you're opening a science book to learn something academically.
Mm.
Yeah, and John says that the word existed in the beginning, that he was a part of creation. So Jesus did manifest himself in the form of the Bible.
Hmm. Makes sense.
And so when you open the word, there is more at play than just your ability and your mind, your brain's ability to comprehend what's being read.
Hmm.
In Ephesians, Paul prays for the people in Ephesus that they would have the spirit of revelation, that they would
have
the spirit of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That not just what the word says to their physical mind, but that their spirit would even receive revelation. That's why you can sit in a sermon, and when somebody is being used of God, you can hear one message, I could hear another message, right. and Curtis still hear another message. Mm-hmm. And it could minister to all of us where we're at, but heard three different things. And that's because at the release of the word from that person's mouth, the Holy Spirit customizes it for what you need.
Mm.
And so to anybody out there that's struggling with that, you need to know that it's not just up to your brain to grasp. That that's actually a lie. If you start believing that I can't understand the Bible because I have this thing going on, what you're doing, and this is another teaching altogether, but you're agreeing with the devil.
That's
and
true.
See, the devil now has no power.
No, unless we give it to him.
Once Jesus died on the cross, he went and he removed the keys. He went and he took the keys. He took all of the actual power that the devil ever had, and he took it back.
That's right.
So from that point on, all the devil had was his ability to get us to agree. So if I begin agreeing to a lie, for example, I can't understand the Bible, and I confess this with my mouth, I'm saying it, I'm believing it, I'm agreeing with the devil. So basically, I'm basically handing the devil the steering wheel.
Hmm.
So even though he has no power of his own, now he has the power that is rightfully mine, and I'm doing what Adam and Eve did.
Wow. I set before you this day, life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life.
Yes.
You are actually choosing the words of the devil when you are choosing cursing. If you're cursing, if you're not speaking blessings to your life and situations and to others, versus if you are speaking life and blessings, then you're speaking the words of God, because that is the life that's in the Word. Jesus became that Word manifested on earth.
Wow.
Yeah, and this all of this really, it does circle right back around to what we've been talking about. And that's when the Lord asks you to do something. Whether he asks you, and sometimes we make this very religious. So when I say he asks you to do something, you're thinking about something very holy. Maybe he's asking you to go into a type of business, or he's asking you to diversify into another business, or he's asking you to bring your prices down, or bring your prices up. Because what you're offering is a great service, and I want you to survive. So he asks you to do these things. And do you know what the devil does? Immediately, he moves in with his lies, and he shoots his fiery arrows. Well, that'll never work.
Jesus said that Satan comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he could steal the word of God from you,
yes.
then he can kill you and destroy you.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly.
I believe that the reason that he used Gabriel on Sunday to speak to us about the finances is because we were struggling, because we're two days past our deadline, and I had exhausted my whole support list. I mean, I value my supporters, and I pastor my supporters, and I do not want them to ever feel as though they're a money ticket for me, because I believe that God supplies my support through them, but I have a responsibility to them. So I'm careful with it. I'm careful with them. You know, I'm gentle. And but we, at that point, I did not know what else I would do, who else I would contact, other than to keep believing the Lord was supplying. And we had to discipline our mouths.
Right.
We had to discipline what we were saying and not say, we're not going. Even that. And it is hard, because the world system is set up different than the kingdom. We do have to come to this conclusion that as kingdom people, we are different than the world, and it's going to look different, we're going to sound different. And so when the Lord says, go do a thing, and we say that we're going to go do a thing, but the world system says, well, no, you're not. You're choosing who you serve by what comes out of your mouth.
That's right.
And so how it all connects to if I was going to empower the devil or not was my five-year-old, who, while he's very aware, is out of nowhere speaking the words of God. I can choose to believe him, or I can choose to do, oh, he's just a five-year-old. He's just repeating something he heard. Well, I'm happy to say we did not do that. And we just kept confessing what we believe the Lord was going to do. Because he had told us. It wasn't just the name and claim it thing where we're like, that's ours and we're taking it. You know, a good principle, a demonic strategy is that they'll take a good principle and they'll abuse it. And so using affirmations that come from God. That's a biblical strategy to keep yourself healthy and to be able to take what the Lord has given you. But the manipulation of that is when you step outside of that and you're like, well, this vehicle is mine, this house is mine, this person is mine. Which that's all. That's when you step over into that, now you're actually delving into witchcraft at a certain level because you're trying to control things that are not yours by your own power. Yeah. And so, but
you didn't get over into cursing. You kept with the blessing. Your words kept with the blessing. You kept speaking life to the situation.
True.
Knowing God says, call those things that be not as though they were. Why would he tell you that? Because you can actually speak things into existence. God created the world by what he spoke. Let there be light.
Yes.
And there was light. So when you speak words according to his word, then those things will manifest and come into being. You can curse a situation by your very words, and you would miss that blessing that the Lord has for you.
Yeah.
But by staying in faith, knowing that he is faithful, he is faithful, and he will provide.
Yeah, and we all have evidence of the ability of the words that come out of a person's mouth to mold and affect us. All you have to do is think of your mother and your father. Good or bad, I can guarantee you, anyone listening right now, and the three of us, we can all think of times where our fathers and our mothers lifted us up and said things that we are now, good or bad.
Absolutely, because the words of a father or a mother stick with a child.
Yeah, right, and they carry an authority as well.
I have the own witness of that myself, just growing up. Wonderful parents, the best parents I believe anybody could ever have. But I remember one time my dad, who is an amazing man, said to me when I was trying to do my homework, one time he said, well, if you can't get that, you'll never amount to nothing. And he didn't mean it badly, but that, well, all I heard is you'll never amount to nothing. So for years and years, I dealt with that and overcoming. And how I overcame that was by the washing of the word.
Yes.
Taking every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. And the word says that, that Jesus said that, you know, is to take those thoughts captives unto the obedience of Christ, or Paul said that, excuse me, but is because if it doesn't line up with the word, throw it out. That's how you can judge everything that somebody comes, you know, presents you with. Hey, if this doesn't line up with the word, don't accept it.
Wow.
And replace it with the word of God. We're up against another break. Listeners, thank you for tuning in to Christ Today. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's back. You thought you got rid of it, but it's back. It just won't leave you alone. The electricity bill is here. But this month is different. You did something about it. And ever since you made that one phone call to Tori with Vivint Solar, your bills are almost 50% less than before. And it cost you nothing to get started. No expensive equipment, no installation cost, nothing. Just a call to Tori with Vivint Solar at 864-1111. For a free in-home evaluation, call Tori with Vivint Solar today at 864-1111 and take control of your electricity bill. 864-1111.
Welcome back, listeners, to Christ Today on KKXX Radio. You're listening with Curtis Smith and Michael Swayze and his testimony about the great and wonderful things that the Lord has done in his life. And we've got some exciting things that just happened just recently with his wife, Angel, that this occurred over at Bethel, right, in Reading?
Actually, it occurred on the YWAM base here.
On the YWAM base,
Bethel,
okay.
Bethel happened to be on base doing a retreat.
Tell us about that miracle that happened
to
Angel.
Yeah, well, my wife, on the left side of her mouth, she had a back molar that we had previously had work done, did the whole root canal, build up, whole deal. At the time, we didn't have the money to put a permanent cap on it, so she had a temporary. And like most people, we forgot, went forward. And about 6 months ago, she began having pain in the tooth. So we didn't have the cash to get the repair done that was needed. The dentist said that it had deteriorated to the point to where she would need another root canal, another buildup, and this time it would have to be a permanent cap. And so she began praying. Now, this is all, I didn't know any of this was happening. She complained to me about the pain, but as things go, you know, life went on and I forgot, you know. So she's praying, Lord, would you please provide provision for me to get the work done. And she prayed for a period of time, and then this school, this discipleship training school that we are currently staffing, began. And part of the training is we show these films that document the move of the Holy Spirit. One of them is called The Finger of God. In the beginning of the movie, they document God granting people gold teeth for a variety of reasons. In some cases, no reason at all other than to display his mercy and love. In other cases, people needing really bad dental work. And so she remembered, we had seen the movie a while back, and so she began praying, instead of having money come in, would he just replace her tooth with a gold tooth? She prayed that for about a week, and then she was taking the kids to the bus stop one morning, and the Lord spoke to her, Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, you need to stop asking for this. You need to just begin thanking me for it. So, believing the words from her mouth, as we were just talking about, she believed that she was heard, and she began just saying, I thank you, Lord, that you're providing a gold tooth, or I thank you, Lord, that you're providing a way for my tooth to be fixed. And then Sunday, following this prayer, Bethel was at our base in Chico, and they were having a worship service, and as they usually do when they come to our base, they had a fire tunnel. She had gone through the fire tunnel and was sitting waiting for my son and I, Joey, my son, who's 14. And we walked through the fire tunnel and we walked up and she was feeling, I could tell my wife was feeling a little overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord over her and was kind of a little bit laughy and giddy. And I was like, oh, how are you doing? And she's all laughing. And she starts trying to talk to me, but my son is sitting in the middle. And before she can say actually a whole sentence, he says, Mom, stop talking. Open your mouth. And of course, you know, when your kid does that, you're like, whoa, don't talk to your mom that way. But he's like, no, there's gold in your mouth. Open your mouth. She opened her mouth, and sure enough, on the top where that molar is, God replaced it with a gold tooth.
Now, Michael, there's going to be people that say that is impossible. Sure. That couldn't happen.
Right.
But there's people that can verify this.
Yes.
Yeah, like her dentist.
Like her dentist. And there was even, there were two dentist assistants in the crowd. And they were like, we've never seen this and we've heard of it. Can we see? And they're like, that's impossible. There's no actual, I guess when you put a cap on, you can see the seam. And it's not even a gold crown. It's a gold tooth. They're like, no dentist in the world could reproduce that.
All things are possible to God.
All things
are possible to those who believe.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, I always wonder, and I'm wondering right now, we all have impossibilities that we see in our lives.
Hmm.
There's not a person that doesn't have them.
That's true. There's not.
And there's a person in a wheelchair.
Yes.
That right now, they don't see the possibility of them getting up out of that wheelchair.
Right. Yeah. There's the person that has learning disability. Maybe they have dyslexia. When they look at words on a page, the words move around, the letters move around. Maybe there's a person that can't keep a job because of a chemical imbalance in their mind.
Or those taken with the palsy and crippled up.
Yeah.
Never being thinking in their mind, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to walk normally.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even, I believe right now, there's probably someone right now that doesn't believe their marriage will ever be healed. They remember when they used to look at their wife, how this was my beloved, they would do anything. And now, four kids later, many years later, a job later, they don't see that person anymore. And in their heart, they want that person to be what they see, but all they see is the distance. That's an impossibility God will heal. Same as he did that tooth. He will take something and turn it, transform it into totally something different, something new. But it does require a step of faith. It requires the risk that we began the whole show talking about.
And God has given unto everyone a measure of faith. So if somebody says, hey, I don't have faith, well, that's not true. God has given everyone a measure of faith.
Yeah, there's... I challenge people when I'm on the street doing evangelism. And the challenge is, all I need you to do is hope for a moment. I just need one moment. If you just give me one moment.
The faith of a mustard seed.
Yeah. God will move in and he will expand it. And he will do what you thought was impossible. So you know.
That's where he thrives, as a God of impossibilities,
yes,
yeah, made possible.
Yes, the God of suddenly.
Yeah.
I think of him that way sometimes because he just suddenly does things.
It seems like it's suddenly to us. And we're like, what's going on? Where are you at?
Yeah.
And he's always there. He's never late.
Never late, always on time. So I think even right now, I just want to say a prayer and just release that God of suddenly, release everything we've been talking about, because impartation through prayer is a powerful, real thing. So if this has touched you in any way, or you feel like that you can see the impossibilities in your life, just right now you can just lay your hands on yourself because, or on your neighbor if you're there, and I'm just going to pray over you right now. And so, Lord, Holy Spirit, I just invite you right now over that person, that you would just, that you would highlight whatever this thing is that you're wanting to do. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to begin doing the miraculous. We invite you right now to do that act of healing and that in those situations that we just talked about, those words that we just said about palsy and about learning disabilities and marriages that are broken. We just invite you to come in and do the supernatural. We invite you to come in and perform those healings right now, just in the name of Jesus. And we just say that all of those things we've spoken over ourselves that were negative, all those things that we spoke over ourselves that were curses, we just release the blessing of the Lord. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, right now that you would begin to walk with these people as the counselor and that you would begin teaching their mouths what to say. That it would be a re-education, that you would lead them to the Word and that they would open that book and the person of Jesus would come off the pages. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, yeah.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Christ Today on KKXX Radio and listening in to our friend Michael Swayze. If you would like to write Christ Today, please do so at KKXX Radio here at 1363 Longfellow Avenue in Chico, California, 95926. You're feel free to call us at 530-894-7325. And if you need prayer, please call me directly for a tip at 530-864-1111.
Till next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I am no more. Let me live
inside your glory. Glory now. Shine your light. I am yours, Lord. Lift me up. I am no more. Let me live my life inside your
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.
Reeve Woods Eye Center provides quality care with two convenient locations, West East Avenue in Chico and Pence Road in Paradise. A premium ophthalmology practice specializing in cataracts, glaucoma, diabetic eye care, and a full-service optical department to fulfill all your eye care needs. Their family of intraocular lenses offer and meet a variety of visual needs for cataract patients. Reeve Woods Eye Center, providing outstanding quality care to the North Valley for over 30 years. Most insurances accepted and always accepting new patients in both locations. Reeve Woods Eye Center. For appointments or information, call their Chico office at 899-2244 or 877-6583 in Paradise. The goal at Reeve Woods Eye Center is great vision for your life.
Are you on the run and need your vehicle to be in top condition? Avoid unexpected breakdowns. Come see Lions Express Lube and Oil. Get peace of mind with fast, reliable services. Do you have a maintenance check light on? Lions Express Lube and Oil, locally owned for the last 26 years, can reset that light on most foreign and domestic vehicles and RVs. With all the pollen, mold, and mildew in the air coming into your vehicle, let us check your cabin filter. Yes, some vehicles have cabin filters, and we can clean up your air. Lions Express Lube and Oil at 5605 Almond Street in Paradise, on the corner of Birch and Almond. Our number is 872-8583. 872-8583. We love to see you.